If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Miller from The Bulwark. I was on earlier today with my girl Alicia Menendez, who was sitting in for Nicole on Deadline White House, and we got into the latest on the Natalie Harp drama and the concerns from the Secret Service, the fact that she didn't have a security clearance at all. I don't want to be the person that says that she's a Russian spy. I don't think that she's a Russian spy. I'm not, you know, trying to do conspiracy hour on the show here. But like, if she were a Russian spy, what would she be doing differently? Like, this person literally appears out of nowhere. Her brother is apparently in Nicaragua, and he had a very funny CNN segment where he was talking about his advocacy and how she's always been a president stalker. And so then she appears out of nowhere. She kind of lies about her origin story. Trump brings her on stage. And then all of a sudden, she's by his side everywhere, like in the White House with no security clearance. Like, there's good reason for it to be alarming. Anyway, we get into that. But we also get into Republican House members and just how absent they are in August. Traditionally, back in the day, back in my day, we walked uphill both ways on the way to school, and our congressmen would come home in August and they would meet with their constituents. You know, democracy, it's kind of how things work. You have people that pay you that send you to Washington, and then you're responsive to their concerns. That doesn't happen anymore. August happens, particularly with the Republicans. On the Democratic side, you know, you have some bad apples, but like for the most part, the Democrats are going back to their district, doing town halls, et cetera. On the Republican side, they just disappear. You know, they're, you know, out on one of those islands off of South Carolina, raising money. A lot of them go down to Florida. I love hanging out in St. Petersburg and DeSantis stan down there, Sarasota, you know, or maybe they just go home and golf. They stay in D.C. You know, maybe they have a side piece. I don't know what they're doing, but they're not out there meeting with voters at all. And the stat that Alicia brought up is crazy. There have only been a couple dozen town halls by Republicans this year, and there are 200 some odd Republican House members. It's like, I mean, there's not anywhere near like one per member. Like, there's been like one town hall per every five Republican representatives. And this speaks to the gerrymandering problem. This speaks to just the cowardice of Republicans, their lack of respect for the democratic process. But I think most importantly, it speaks to just how poor their political standing is, that they've got to just be in total hiding right now. You know, if you're going to have one of the parties be kind of taken over by anti-democratic forces, I guess the best outcome is that they are extremely weak and cowardly and politically impotent anti-democratic forces. And we have, that has kind of been what's been revealed this year. You know, I think there was a moment last year where there was fear that this was fascistic strongman, anti-democratic forces. And it's turned out to be a lot weaker than that. So much more on that with Alicia, with Kurt Anderson, and some others. Stick around. Subscribe to the feed right here. Please do me a favor. Subscribe to the feed. Do me a solid. And we'll be talking to you soon.
This episode is sponsored by the New York Times. This week, a new New York Times investigation by Dave Phillips uncovered how a legal loophole could allow thousands of America's wild horses to be sent to slaughter under the Trump administration. The reporting you depend on, that this show depends on, started long before that headline. They gather all of the facts, find the story, and distill it all down so you can learn what matters most in minutes. Dave Phillips, the reporter, combed through government records to find that the Bureau of Land Management, the agency in charge of protecting wild horses, is quietly selling thousands of horses to buyers. The loophole, instead of killing the wild horses, which is illegal, people instead get to buy Mustangs on the cheap from the government and then quickly resell them to be exported alive before they are killed abroad. It can take a week, months, or even years of work to put together a story like that. Beyond poring over government records, Dave spoke to livestock traders and animal welfare organizations to understand what is going on. That's what journalists do to keep all of us informed. And personally, as folks may be aware, I cut my teeth at the New York Times. I was a reporter there for many years. I'm very grateful for that experience, and I'm proud to be an alum. And I still, to this day, remain dependent on the critical reporting that the Times produces. Wherever you seek it out, nationally, locally, support fact-based reporting.
The growing spotlight on Trump's confidant and the woman dubbed the human printer has revealed an alarming lapse in vetting those closest to the president. Stunning new reporting from MS Now details how Trump's closest aide, Natalie Harp, declined multiple times over more than a year to seek a routine security clearance normally obtained by West Wing staffers to work at the White House, according to two people familiar with the matter. Both people said Harp's reasoning for declining to complete the process was unknown. After concerns mounted among the White House counsel's office and security officials, the president himself intervened, and Harp in recent months filled out the forms to launch a formal federal background investigation and received the clearance, one of the people said. Tim, part of what has made this story so sticky is the response that the White House has had to it. They seem very thrown off by the use of a single person's name out there on the campaign trail. This story now has legs in light of this new reporting. Scott Jennings, who Politico reports is pitching himself to replace Caroline Leavitt, attempted to attack Senator Ossoff for invoking Harp. Take a listen and then we'll talk about it.
The implication is that a professional woman couldn't possibly have earned her position of trust in the White House without sleeping her way to the top. And when asked to defend it, Ossoff slinked away from it. No apology and no defense, like a sucker punching coward.
So understanding, Tim, that that is likely an audition. One, how did the audition go? And two, what does it tell you that they've had so much trouble moving off this story?
Yeah, it's hard to resist saying quiet, Peggy, to Scott Jennings every time he starts talking about this and pretending like he cares about women's feelings, why he shills for Donald Trump and auditions to be his press secretary. I mean, Donald Trump has made a habit of saying so much nastier things about women than this. And I mean, heck, even Jesse Waters over on Fox had the dignity, maybe is the word, or whatever, to not pretend to be outraged about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Like, whatever the word is, had the something to not pretend to be outraged about this, because it's just ridiculous on its face for shills for Donald Trump to pretend to care, you know, about the way women are treated in the workplace. We don't need to list all the ways that Donald Trump has abused women physically and emotionally and verbally. So that's one element to this. The other thing is just the Harp story is partially sticky because, like, it's a real story. And these guys, Jennings and all of them, are the ones that keep invoking, you know, this idea that it's an affair or whatever. And it's kind of like, regardless of what exactly is happening, I mean, even if this is just simply a situation where there is a staffer that is doting upon Donald Trump, there's a lot of things of interest about it. As Carol was just laying out, the Secret Service had interest. There's no background checks to this. And there's a lot of weird examples. And the letters that she writes to him are not the typical letters that get written from a staffer to a boss. I've worked for a lot of bosses I really, really liked. And, you know, was never writing them MASH notes about how they're my sun and my moon and, you know, all these other things about how, you know, they need each other to survive. So she has close access, as Carol laid out, to very sensitive information. She's the one that determines what information Donald Trump gets a lot. I mean, like, I believe the very first story about Natalie Harp was in the Bulwark that we wrote in 2024 about how she was his printer, human printer, during his trial, and she's printing off all of the coverage of the trial. So, like, that's a powerful role if you're the person that's shielding Trump from information or choosing what to show him. So, you know, look, I think that their response to this has not allowed them to move on from the story, because, you know, their response is not actually in tune with what the real criticism is.
Here's the thing, Tim Miller, as you well know, at some point, constituents are going to have their voices heard. And if you don't want to show up at a town hall and take the heat in that moment while people get their frustration off their chest to you, their elected member of Congress whose tax dollars pay their salary, then they will show up on election day and they will let you know. So there's really no escaping this.
Yeah, no. And look, it allows, rightly, their political opponents to use it against them. You know, and you have to balance that at some level. A, you have a responsibility to your constituents as a member of Congress, allegedly. And I think a lot of these guys feel like they don't because, you know, their ego has overtaken their obligation to why they got into this job in the first place. But, you know, if you just put that aside even and just look at political considerations, you know, voters, they want to have an opportunity to express their concerns. And if it seems like you're hiding from them, you know, they're likely to go another direction. I mean, it's a little corny, but Abdul El-Sayed has been calling Mike Rogers Mike Dodgers because he's not me going in front of voters. And like, if that's the type of thing that is sticky with people. And I think that a lot of these guys have gerrymandered themselves into safe seats. They don't have to worry about it. But look, in a wave year like this, there's a lot of people like Mike Flood in Nebraska who are running in seats they've won by 10, 11, 12 points. Mm-hmm. And they're in danger. And I don't think they know how to handle it. You know, there was a special election in Pennsylvania last week where it was a seat Trump won by 18 points and the Democrat won. So, look, I think that they're a little bit, you know, kind of paralyzed by this. They don't want to go out and get yelled at, but they also aren't doing anything to help their political prospects.
Right. And they don't have any models to look to, because it's not just members of Congress. The Trump administration also seems completely unable to answer basic questions. I want both of you to listen to the sound of Scott Bessent.
There are signs that the job market may be cracking a little bit. Got a weak job report last month. I'm curious about your assessment as to how much we can handle all of this.
I think the jobs numbers are quite noisy. And you know, again, Sarah, the other thing that's important, too, is like the jobs that we're seeing are going to Americans. You know, after the deportations that we've seen during President Trump's administration and the closing of the border, that like this unfettered migration, we don't need to produce as many jobs.
They told us that the immigrants they were deporting were the worst of the worst, who apparently had like great American jobs on the side of their criminality, and they can't seem to decide which one it is, right? Like, are these hardworking people who've come here to financially allow their family back home or here to live, or are they criminals? Like, they can't get their own messaging straight.
It kind of goes back. There's a relationship a little bit to the argument during the tariffs that, you know, the kids can have fewer dolls. I thought this was supposed to be the golden age where we are going to have this great economic boom in the country. We're going to bring manufacturing back to the country. We're going to have, you know, kind of a land of plenty. And instead it's like, well, you know, we don't need to create that many jobs, actually, because we've deported so many people. And so there are a handful of jobs that we can give you that illegal immigrants used to have. And besides that, you know, maybe tighten your belt at Christmas this year. And if you have to pay a little bit more at the gas pump, you know, $4 a gallon, it's worth it because we changed one Ayatollah with another Ayatollah. They don't have a lot to work with. And the messaging is pretty bad on top of that.
Pretty bad, I think, is pretty generous. Tim Miller, thank you so much for being with us today.
Until now, the data your AI depends on has been trapped behind ever-increasing cloud fees. Wasabi created Hut Cloud Storage and is redefining cloud storage for the AI era, delivering simple, predictable cloud storage for AI, analytics, media, and more. Your data is free to move, fast to access, and ready when your AI needs it. Hidden fees add up fast as AI workloads grow. Wasabi's flat pricing eliminates all of it. One rate, no surprises. Learn more and try now for free at wasabi.com. Wasabi, the AI storage cloud. Proud partner of the iHeart Podcast Network.
Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it.
At CAPS, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.